Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
When I came to Christ, one of the things the Lord really laid on my heart was this. You know, I just started drinking and all of this, and the Lord laid on my heart to give up drinking alcohol. And I realized something. It wasn't a big sacrifice on my part. You know, why did I need to drink in order to relax? I had the peace of God that passes all understanding. Why did I need to drink in order to socialize and to be around people? God had given me his love to overflow my heart. You know, and the thing that I've discovered is when you're filled with God's Spirit, you don't need these kind of crutches, if you will, to be able to cope with life. You can set those things aside and enjoy life and not wake up with a raging hangover the next day. Not having to sit there and go, oh man, I need some Menudo, the breakfast of champions or something like that to take the edge off. Who needs that sort of thing? You know, again, the scripture says, don't be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. If you're drunk with wine, if you've gotten to the place where your ability to deal with life, your ability to make choices, your ability to perceive things accurately is being distorted by alcohol, you got a problem. And God says, I want to cure that problem. Not by telling you, no more drinking, but by saying yes to something better. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, here is a wonderful contrast. Be filled with the Spirit. You know, interesting, alcohol is a depressant. Did you know that? I mean, once you get over the massive sugar buzz that hits your system when you drink alcohol, sooner or later, it's going to leave you lower than when you started. How interesting that when you're filled with the Spirit, it doesn't leave you lower than when you started. It leaves you higher. It gives you the power to live a life in harmony with God. It gives you the power to love with God's love, not your own. It gives you the power to be able to say yes to the things of God that are going to bring healing and wholeness to your life, not things that are just going to end up blowing all your resources and blowing away all your relationships. God says, man, say yes to something better. What is this something better? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, I have to give you a little bit of a Greek grammar lesson here in order for you to understand exactly what the Word of God is saying in this passage. And I know for some of you, you know, the eyes are going to glaze, and I get all of that. But the important thing for you to understand is this statement, be filled with the Spirit, in the original language, is a passive imperative as far as the verbs are concerned. And the reason that I point that out to you is not to dazzle you with expertise, but to understand two things about being filled with the Spirit that we need to understand. First of all, the being filled with the Spirit is something that is passive within our life. It's not an active thing. And this is what I mean by it. It is something that is done to us by God, not something that we try to do in order to impress God. And the reason I point that out to you is when we talk about being Spirit-filled, there's a lot of people that think they've got to whip something up or work something up in order to be a Spirit-filled Christian. You know, they're not really Spirit-filled unless they're carrying on and gyrating and dancing and calling attention to themselves and waving banners back and forth and things like that. They say that's being a Spirit-filled Christian. No, that is not being a Spirit-filled Christian. Being a Spirit-filled Christian, being filled with the Spirit, is something that God and God alone can do for you and me. how do we receive then the filling of the Spirit? If it's not by working myself into some emotional state, if it's not singing the right songs in a row, if it's not, say, manifesting some spiritual gift and then hoping that God takes it and runs with it. What do we mean by it's passive? Well, in the book of Luke, chapter 11, Jesus said this: if you who are fathers have a child who asks you for a loaf of bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If he asks you for water, will you give him a poisonous snake? Jesus said, I tell you, no. How much more then will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? How do you become a Spirit-filled Christian? How do you become filled with the Holy Spirit? You ask God to do something for you you could never do for yourself. You don't whip yourself into the right mood. You don't go through these gyrations. You don't read these different books. I remember early on in my Christian life, a person gave me a book that said if you wanted to have, say, the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, what you needed to do was you needed to just say banana, 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 and then sooner or later God would make it a language. What? You don't have to fake something. You know, Christianity isn't fake it till you make it. If God wants to give you the gift of speaking in tongues, and I believe that's a gift that some people certainly do have today, he's going to give it to you. He's going to give you every good and perfect gift, but you don't have to work yourself into something in order to manifest the Holy Spirit. It's a question of receiving. In the book of Galatians, Paul talked to the Galatians and said, this only I want to know from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law, that is, doing a checkoff list of certain behaviors, or by the hearing of faith? If you come to God and you say, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe your promise that you will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him. I'm asking. God's going to give you the filling of the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. You don't have to work it up. Now, notice something else. It's not just passive here. It's a passive imperative. When something's imperative, it means it's absolutely vital. It's not something you can take or leave. It's not optional. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, then, is not just for certain denominations. It's not just for certain church services. It's not just for, say, spiritual leaders within the church. It is an absolute essential for every believer in Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe to best explain why this is so important, we need to understand the relationship that we as believers in Christ have with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us there's three basic relationships that you and I have with the Holy Spirit. Every person on earth has one of these three relationships. Hopefully you got all three. The first two relationships that we have with the Holy Spirit, you might want to turn over here real quick, are detailed for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Now here we see the first two relationships that every person has with the Holy Spirit. The first relationship is the Holy Spirit with us. Notice that key word, with us. It's the idea of the Holy Spirit working on your life from the outside in. What I believe this is the drawing work of the Holy Spirit that leads us to salvation in Christ. You know, when I think about my testimony about how I came to Jesus, you know, it all culminated when I went to a Billy Graham film called A Time to Run. And the theme of this movie was that God is the hound of heaven. And once he gets on your trail, he's not going to give up till he's got you. Well, maybe you look back on how you came to Christ, and your testimony is just the same way. I mean, it's like every time you turned around, there was somebody telling you about Jesus. Every time you turned around, there was some life circumstance that was showing you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're not going to be able to cope with life without the Lord. You know, that's the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. Just this last Friday on A Reason for Hope, this lady called in and she says, well, I feel kind of like I'm being duplicitous here because I want your advice, but I'm not a Christian. I mean, she was straight up about all of that. And I said, really, you're not a Christian? And you know, and why? And she goes, well, you know, it's kind of frightening to me, and I come from a really rough background where, you know, the name of Jesus was really abused and all that stuff. So I'm really not ready to invite Jesus into my heart, but I really want to know how to deal with anger from a, you know, from a biblical point of view. And I just kind of smiled, and I said, you know what's going on with you? You're getting drawn. The Holy Spirit's drawing you to himself. She goes, oh, I don't know about that. I said, well, I do. Why in the world would you be talking to me on a Christian radio program about your life, even though you don't believe in Jesus at all? Why are you interested at all in what I have to say? You can't seem to get away from it, can you? God's drawing you. Now, I wish I could say happy ending. She prayed and received Christ. She did. She got off the air. She said, you know, I'm just not ready to make that decision. I said, well, can I pray for you that you would? Well, that's that with you work of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this woman is going to come to Christ. God is working overtime on her, and it cracks me up because God's not going to give up till he's got her. You know? And your testimony is probably the same as mine. God opens your eyes. He works something from the outside in to draw you to faith in Christ. In John 16, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Not believers in Christ, but the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. His number one job is to open our eyes to understanding the gospel. Unless he draws you, John chapter 6 says, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him first. That's the Holy Spirit with you. And if you're a believer in Christ, you've had that with you work of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, when you respond to that with you work, the second relationship we have with the Spirit kicks in. That is not just the Holy Spirit with us, that's the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus put it so bluntly in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The minute you pray and receive Christ as your Savior, God takes up residency in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory, Paul writes in the book of Colossians. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not born again at all. So every believer in Christ, every person who has prayed and invited Christ into their heart, has the Holy Spirit in them. He was with you to draw you to salvation. He is in you the minute you receive Christ as your Savior. There's no such thing as a non-spirit indwelt believer in Christ. Either you're born again or you're not. You're either a saint or you're an ain't. You've got the Spirit and all the Holy Spirit the minute you receive Christ as your Savior. But there's a third relationship we have with God through the Holy Spirit that a lot of believers just never get around to receiving. You know, in the Gospel of John chapter 20 and verse 22, we are told that Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. At that moment, I believe they became born again. I believe at that moment they were indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had died. He'd resurrected. That ministry was now possible. But they were also told something else that's really fascinating. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, Jesus said this to them in verse 49. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, literally clothed, with power from on high. What Jesus was saying was this to these individuals who had seen him resurrected, who'd heard his teaching for 3 years, who now had the Holy Spirit indwelling as believers. What he was saying is, don't try to do anything until you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Three relationships with the Holy Spirit, right? With us to draw us to salvation, in us when we come to put our faith in Christ, and here's the exciting part, upon us to give us the power to be a witness in this world, to be exhibit A of what God does in the life of a believer upon us. And that's what Paul is getting at here in Ephesians chapter 5. Notice it says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the idea of being filled with the Spirit here, the other nuance of the Greek here is this idea that this is not just a one-shot deal. This is a continual relationship with the Holy Spirit. In other words, what we could accurately translate this, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, a total waste, but be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a renewable resource, gang. Now, I know some of you are theologians out there are sitting there thinking, so Scott, you're telling me there's a second experience with the Holy Spirit after conversion? There's a second experience? Yeah, sure is. And a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth. And man, I'll tell you what. If I do not, by the time my feet hit the carpet in the morning, ask the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit, your mileage may vary, but I know I will make my life a flaming wreck and ruin by 10 o'clock. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to live for Christ each and every day. And every time you ask, what does Jesus promise? Luke chapter 11, verse 13, kids, don't forget this one. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to who? Those who ask. Those who ask. You have not because you ask not. Why is my Christian life so dull and drudgery and stale and boring? It's because you never ask. Maybe you're trying to live on the memories of what it was like back during the groovy Jesus movement days when the Holy Spirit was really moving. Man, that was really great. What's God done for you lately? Not much. I'll tell you why not. Because you don't ask. You want to do a radical experiment, and I challenge you to do this experiment. Tomorrow, when your alarm goes off, like me, you hit that snooze alarm, try to get that precious 10 more minutes in before you got to roll out of bed, right? Before you roll out of bed, do this experiment. Come before the Lord. You don't have to gussy it up in a lot of King James English and this and that and the other. Here's what you do. You just say, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Help me not to be the same old person I've always been. Help me not to just try to Christianize all my weirdness anymore. You, Jesus, live your life out through me, through the Holy Spirit. I ask this in your name. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. You ask God that for that request. Is God going to look at you and go, nah, I don't think so. I kind of enjoy watching you flop about like a tadpole in a little pond that's drying up in the summer sun down there. That's kind of what I'm into. No. God's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, you're going to experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You're going to find supernatural love flowing through your life. You're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Your prayer life's going to take off like a rocket. You're going to see the miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The book of Mark chapter 16 says these signs shall follow those who believe. It doesn't say those who believe are going to follow signs, by the way. But it says if you need a miracle, you got it. And boy, when that starts to happen, when you find yourself in miracles large and small, like someone says, oh man, I've got this huge problem going on and all this stuff, and your first inclination is, well, I got nothing to say. And then suddenly this wisdom just comes to you. And you're sharing with this person, and this person's kind of staring at you, like, man, I can't believe you're saying all these wonderful things. And you're like, I can't either. Man, that's when the Christian life gets exciting, gang. When you find stubborn, ingrown, self-destructive patterns of sin that you believed in your heart of heart were always going to be a part and parcel of you. Oh, it's just the way I am. I'm never going to change. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, you find yourself going, man, I'm not such a jerk anymore. You're experiencing the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be that same old person anymore. You can become like Jesus in your character. See, our problem, gang, is we shoot way too low. We shoot way too low. We expect, a little religiosity here. Or, boy, I'm going to show God I'm really something. I'm going to fast for 80 days, and I'm going to show you God. And, and it just makes us just a bigger weirdo in the long term. God says, look, give up all the religion, give up all of the pretension, give up all the reputation, come to me, ask me for that miraculous move of the Holy Spirit in your life, and see if I don't rock your world. God's in the world rocking business, gang. And if you're not in a place where you're seeing the miraculous move in your character, in your connections with other people, even in your answers to prayers, prayers of consequence that God wants to give to you, may I suggest to you, you're settling for a Christianity that is far less than what Jesus promised. And God wants to give it all to you. So much so, yeah, I understand this. The filling of the Holy Spirit, it's not an it. It's a him. What greater gift could God give to you and to me than himself? Jesus Christ living his life out through us, miraculously, magnificently, in a way that's not only going to bless you, but here's the proof positive, and we'll talk a little bit more about this on Wednesday night. It's going to make you a blessing to other people too. Wouldn't you want to have that power of the Holy Spirit? What better thing can we do, wrapping up this time in the Word, than for all of us just to bow our hearts and our minds before God and simply together ask God for the filling of the Holy Spirit right now? Let's do that. Father, we thank you that you are a God that gives good and perfect gifts to your children. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. I thank you that the empowering work, this coming upon of the Holy Spirit, was not just for the time of the book of Acts and died out with the last apostle or when the last the period was put in the book of Revelation. I thank you, Lord, that we are in desperate need of that empowering work. We are in desperate need of seeing you work mighty deeds and signs and wonders, the greatest miracle of all, changing and transforming us in the very image and likeness of Jesus. Lord, you said in the book of Acts through Simon Peter that the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord himself will call. So your promise of the Holy Spirit is fully in session right now. You are far more anxious to give us that coming upon power, that filling of the Holy Spirit, than we are in being filled. So right now, as an act of faith, believing your word in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, that you would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him, right now, in the privacy of our hearts before you, we ask for him. We ask for you to fill us. We ask you, Lord, to allow us to turn from those things that are just emptiness and dissipation, the cheap knockoffs and substitutes of this world, and discover where joy and life and fulfillment everlasting, everything this world promises but could never deliver, is given to us beyond measure. So, Lord, fill us now with your Spirit. And I pray that the proof positive we have been filled with your Spirit is the manifestation of the love of Jesus to one another, without which we don't have the right to call ourselves Christians. Fill us with that miraculous love. Confirm that filling of your Holy Spirit, even by amazing answers to prayer and signs and wonders and miracles as you see fit to pour out upon your people. Lord, this world is lost and dying. It's getting worse all the time, but I thank you that the darker the night, the more your light shines. So, Lord, fill us, and may your light and your love just overflow our hearts. Right now, by faith, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit and change our lives and change our world as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you. Glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.